Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today will be Glenn Hatchell, returning for the 18th installment of Ask the Trainer. That means that as of this morning, we're approaching 18 instances over 5-plus years. We're inviting listeners to call in with questions for Glenn about their dogs or cats' behavior. Questions about other animals are, of course, welcome, too. If you've heard previous editions of Ask the Trainer, which we aim to present every 2 to 3 months here on Talking Animals, you'll recall that Glenn served as the Behavior and Enrichment Manager at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. He's retired from that position. He's also a certified professional dog trainer, a veteran accomplished dog trainer and behaviorist, as well as a former WMNF programmer. During these Ask the Trainer shows, Glenn fields several calls and emails seeking to answer listener questions about their animal's behavior and or provide guidance on training or how to otherwise address that particular issue. On today's edition, as an unusual added bonus, I'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see Squeeze, along with Adam Ant and Haircut 100, August 19th at Bay Care Sound. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, this morning, we again invite listeners to call in at 813-239-9663 with questions for Glenn, or the questions can be submitted by email, dj@wmnf.org, or via text, 813-433-0885. So incidentally, as I mentioned the past few times that we've done this, we've learned that phone calls tend to be most effective because they enable Glenn to ask the caller follow-up questions, often more precisely assessing the issue and better calibrating his recommended solution. Still, for listeners unable to call or who just prefer to write in, we will also incorporate questions submitted by email again at dj@wmnf.org or via text 813-433-0885. So free for you to call or email now while Glenn and I talk for a few minutes. And I believe we're going to throw people a curve today, which a lot of people think this is a very dog-centric show, but that's not necessarily the case. We take questions. You feel the number of questions over these years we've been doing this on cats, and today we might just particularly emphasize cats.
We'll be...
Sorry.
That's okay.
First day in radio.
Nobody knows that. Yes, we're going to be talking a lot about cats today. Good morning. Good to see you.
Likewise, Glenn. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Number 18.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
We're getting there.
I was thinking about when we started this at the very beginning, and it's exciting and fun to still be able to come in here and do this. And
yeah, we had no idea what would happen, and yeah. it seems like it's clicked, and people seem to appreciate it, and hopefully there'll be more people you can help today.
Yep, we'll find out. We'll find out. So we have talked mostly about dogs over those 18 episodes, but there have been questions about cats and at different times, but over the last... over the last couple of months, I've just had the opportunity to do a lot of work with a lot of different cats. And it's really, it's helped me from a dog perspective because it's reminded me to slow down and pay attention to all of the signals that are being sent. I think working with a cat is like having a fearful dog in a lot of ways because...
Oh, that's really interesting.
Well... You know, if there's a dog that's fearful or, you know, is kind of on edge about being scared of everything.
Yeah.
If you move too fast or you do something too sudden, that's usually going to shut the dog down for a little bit. And he's going to have to recover from it. The same thing happens with cats, but at a greater level.
Is that kind of more their baseline, in other words?
Yes, more their baseline, and I think, and I don't know that there's anything scientifically that would prove this, but I think in general, part of a big reason for the difference in the reaction is dogs are predators, you can say. I mean, even though that's not their nature, you know, to go out after prey and such.
Yeah.
The dogs don't really have, other than other dogs, they don't have anything that's going to come after them. Cats are predators. Anyone who knows a cat knows that they like to find things that, you know, they can predator on.
For sure.
And, but the difference is cats are also prey. So cats also have to worry about that dog coming after them that's a lot bigger, or any number of things.
Look over their shoulder about one thing or another.
Exactly. Yeah. Or a bird that's going to come flying out of the sky that, you know, may just do a little strafe and get them, but still the cat doesn't really know what all's going to happen. And obviously, if it's a bigger bird, then there's a bigger risk to, what you know, the cat. So there's a mentality that's completely different because there's this, ooh, I want to get that. Oh, that wants to get me. You know, and I think probably humans back in the day when there were a lot more wild animals around probably had a similar kind of experience of they needed to get food, but they also knew that if they didn't, you know, if they weren't careful behind their back, they could be somebody else's food. So I think that is one of the reasons that working with a cat, when you have that quick movement that puts them in a fear state, and usually at that point they're either going to it's usually thought of fight or flight, they're either going to run away or they're going to respond, and that response could be sitting back and just waiting for you. But one of the differences, especially working with a cat, of having to be slow, is that a dog usually is going to recover pretty quickly. And it may just take a treat to them, and they're like, oh, I'm back with you. But a cat, it's going to take a lot longer for them to recover. And that carries on through a lot of different behaviors of this recovery time, which is always a big factor, a factor that we talk about a lot, of recovery time, that that's an indicator of progress, of improvement, that if there's something that scares the animal, if it's very scary for them, then it's probably going to affect them for a longer period of time. And if we can decrease that time to where they're back to normal, that's one of the indicators of progress, as we're changing behaviors and conditions and such. Cats don't have that ability to recover like that. When cats get into fights, you know, a lot of times, and this is where it comes to the fight or flight, a lot of times cats will either run away or it's like, boom, game on as soon as they see each other. Cats don't have the same skill as dogs of defusing a situation. A dog may drop its head a little bit and kind of submit to the other, and that could really defuse a tense situation, and the dog's body language does that. Cats don't have that same skill set. So there's all of these subtle little differences that when you're at that level of really trying to change the behavior of a cat, because in my case, I've never really, my own personal cats, I guess maybe I influenced their behavior, but it's not like there was anything I had to change.
Yeah, not addressing specifically. Probably.
Yeah. And that's what was fun and unique about this, such as, for example, you know, having a cat who is, you go to reach your hand towards its head to kind of scratch him on the chin or something, and they lean back. Well, that's not the response we want. Yeah. We want them to anticipate and want to lean in. So
something good's happening.
Exactly.
Don't fight me on this. You'll like it if you just give it a try.
Yeah. Well, and that is, once there's another challenge of we're working with cats, or different of working with cats and dogs, is finding that, oh, do you have one of those? Well, if you have one of those, I'll be happy to do whatever it is you're trying to get me to do.
Calls for different action on your part as someone who's trying to help them with a behavioral issue, I guess.
Well, with a dog, we can think, it's easy to think about, oh, we'll use a treat. And because in most cases, food is, a dog's going to be like, hey, if you've got food,
that's there. That's a magical solution.
Exactly.
Just tell me what you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Just about all the time with a dog, you can find that with a cat. But with a cat, it takes longer to find that motivator. And seldom are you going to find a motivator for a cat that will be like a motivator for a dog. And by motivator, something that's going to get the cat, something that's going to change that anticipation. And that motivator, and with cats, it could be a treat. It could be a hard treat, a soft treat, you know, squeeze tube treat, wet food. There's all kinds of things you can do to get a cat to do the things that we need them to do as companion animals and be able to at least tolerate.
And a lot of people just don't think in those terms. They do think of dogs that way, but they don't necessarily think of cats responding to that or even trying that kind of method to affect change. So that's really interesting.
Well, and dogs, well, I started to say dogs will give more signals. Dogs, I think, cats are less forgiving when they send a signal that says, don't do that. Mm. Where dogs may kind of like, you know, they may do a little bit, but a cat's immediately like, nope, you crossed the line, boom, coming at you.
You're in the doghouse, as it were.
There we go. Well played. So one of the big challenges for pet owners, though, is recognizing those little subtle signs, because it could be as subtle as just a tilt of the ear, or the, maybe the ear goes from up to flat, and that's maybe the only sign that is showing that the cat's not sure, or maybe that's sign number one of your hand coming towards the cat's face. Mm. So if, let's say, for example, you are able to detect and see that ear, if they show that very well, then you know right there that they're already like, oh no, hands come into my face. And that's where we can start changing the association. So that's where we would drop a treat down and, or whatever may be rewarding for that cat. Many of the cats, or several of the cats, were very, they needed a lot of stimulation, a lot of, I mean, let me rephrase that. They needed, so a lot of them did, but a number of the cats, their motivation really was toys. So quite often, it would be of, I'm going to touch your shoulder, and now I'm going to shake this wand over here for you to be able to swat at. And such. So all of a sudden now their cat behavior, their normal cat behavior of being predator comes into play, because it's like, oh, let me get that feather or pipe cleaner or anything that happened to move and wiggle. You know, if it wiggles, a cat's going to, you know, could be interested in it. It could be something that at least in that moment will get them to engage. And if they start thinking, oh, your hand's coming here, oh, that means there's going to be a toy over here that I can start trying to destroy.
Nice.
Changing that association.
Well, before we elaborate a little bit further, for folks who might have tuned in a bit late, let them know this is Ask the Trainer on Talking Animals on WNF. The trainer, of course, being Glenn Hatchell. And if you have a question about your dogs, or we're kind of emphasizing a little bit more cats today, potentially, but not necessarily, your question could be about any kind of animal. And you can call 813-239-9663, email dj at wnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. And a bit later in this show, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see Squeeze on August 19th, 2 weeks from today, in fact, at Bay Care Sound. So stay tuned for that. And if you do call in, by the way, just let the call ring, and it'll go on to hold. And then it may sit on hold for a little bit, because sometimes when Glenn is helping another listener, takes a while to get to your call, but just hang tight. We will definitely do it. And we do have an email from someone here at the station that we all know, I think. So this one says, hi, Duncan and Glenn. Great job with the show today. Cats are great. Why do they like to make biscuits, quote unquote? As I've seen it called on Instagram cat videos. Also, has Glenn ever experienced a cat that can be walked on a leash or harness? I tried it one time with my cat, and it was a disaster, and never tried again. That's from David, Mr. White Pep Bryant.
Hello, David. Love those questions. I'll take the last part of it first. Yes, I have had some cats that would walk on harness and leash. The ones that did, it was not because I taught them to do it. They were fine with it being on them.
They didn't resist, I guess.
Yeah, I'd put it on and I would. And now, depending on the cat, I've used both harnesses and just onto the collar. Mm-hmm. Really kind of, it just depends on the cat. But that's one of those, at least for me, there's a lot to overcome if there's just a total resistance to it. Generally, I shouldn't say generally. Early on, I would find that most cats would just pancake, just blot out like, oh gosh, I can't move at all. As you work on it, think about pressure, because that probably is, or that will have the biggest effect of how the cat feels about it. So generally, I think a harness would be easier, but it's something to try.
Does it matter how, like, what kind of age the cat is? Like, if you're trying it, if it's a, you know, a young cat, maybe it's one thing. And if it's an older cat, it's like, hey, what the hell are you trying here, pal? I don't do leashes. I don't do harnesses. It doesn't make any difference.
I don't think it would make a difference. I think it really comes down to, you know, every cat's an individual.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they're
so even an old kind of cranky cat might say, hey, this is cool. Whatever you got here, I like this.
Yep.
Nice.
When was it? Last year, year before? One of the hurricanes that came through, my cats, of course, were inside like everybody else's hopefully were,
yeah,
during that period of time. And once there was a break, I actually took my 14-year-old cat and just took the leash off to his collar, which was still, it was a no-slip collar, so I knew he couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
And we went outside, and the interesting thing with him, and I've heard a number of other people talk about this as well, is their cats always want to go under bushes. And same thing with him. As soon as it gets around a bush, he wants to go under it on the leash, and that can be a challenge if he's on the leash and trying to get him out. So it's, I wouldn't say that I have ever had a cat who actually would go out for a walk on a leash as if, I mean, as I've seen on some videos and such.
Yeah.
But thinking of something else you could do with your cat, especially if it's an indoor cat, you know, and that's the idea behind it, and the reason to go for it is that gives them an experience and it's an aspect of socialization, something that they just don't get otherwise.
Right. And as for the making biscuits, why do cats like to make biscuits?
The general feeling, I think the general school of thought is self-soothing. It's just something that feels good, and it's a self-soothing thing that I notice it generally when a cat is feeling good. You know, if a cat's unsure about what you're about to do, you don't see those cats needing biscuits. It is, and for those who may not be familiar with cats at all, it's KENEADING, kneading biscuits as okay. if we are in the kitchen and such.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
But it's one of those signs that if I was going to say, if I'm working with a cat, you know, in a case like that, or even with mine, generally it always happens when just everything is calm. I started to say a lot of times it's when they're up against me or literally, you know, right a few inches away, you'll start seeing it, or they'll face you. So I think it's just that aspect of this is life, you know.
Cool.
So it's a good thing for sure.
All right. Well, so when you see that kneading biscuits.
And it's a thing to encourage.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. All right, so again, this is Talking Animals on WNF. We're doing an Ask the Trainer, and the trainer you just heard there is Glenn Hatchell. Happy to take your calls at 813-239-9663 with any question about a dog, a cat, some other kind of animal. You can also email those to dj@wnf.org. We have another email that we're going to get to momentarily. Or you can text 813-433-0885. And in a few minutes or so, we'll probably offer a pair of tickets to see Squeeze, along with Adam Ant and Haircut 100 on August 19th, 2 weeks from today at Big Hair Sound. So that's all coming up here on Talking Animals on Ask the Trainer. But let's get to our next email question. This one says simply, my stepson recently moved in with us with a dog that bites. What can I do to desensitize this dog to biting?
That's a deep question, because there's a lot that's not there. If the dog's biting, I would put a muzzle on him to begin with so he doesn't bite anyone else. I don't have any idea about people that are in the house. I don't know if there's not a context to it, but it's a dog who bites is, especially if he has no no hesitation about biting a person, like say if you reach up to pet them in the face, as we've been talking about with cats, that's a major, that's a risk to anyone who would come in contact with that dog. So I would first call your vet, because the first thing would be to rule out any medical thing that's going on. It could, something like that could be pain related. Depending on, again, depending on the context, but if you imagine that if you've got a dog that has, and this could be a cat as well, could be one of the reasons of don't come, you know, don't put your hand towards my mouth, is there's teeth problems. You know, they've got something in their jaws that are, or they've got, they get a tooth that's bad, but they don't have any way to tell us. But if you go to touch it, it's going to hurt. And guess what? So you'd want to have the vet check everything out, but, you know, obviously you've, we'll disclose to the vet that has been, you know, the dog's been biting people. Yeah. So blood work would obviously be a piece of it, but
for sure,
that's a serious issue that should be addressed. Well, first thing is don't let the dog bite.
Right. And find out what might be behind it medically.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of that, I might have a vet medical kind of question on the cat topic, but we're going to, I think we're going to get into our squeeze ticket giveaway, and again, invite people to call 813-239-9663 for a question for Glenn for Ask the Trainer, or you can also email dj@wmnf.org, or you can, of course, text 813-433-0885. So, again, if you do call, just let the call ring. And if it goes on to hold, just hang tight, because that means Glenn's probably helping somebody at that moment. But we'll get to you as soon as possible. So I thought for these tickets, and again, this is Squeeze, a great band, and they're playing on a bill with Adam Ant and Haircut 100. This is August 19th, 2 weeks from today, at Bay Care Sound. So I thought to give away a pair, we might bring an element that we often have on regular days here on Talking Animals, which is Name That Animal Tune. So we're going to play a song that may or may not be appropriate to the theme of our discussion here with Glenn. And if you want to call in response to that and guess the name of the tune, title of the tune, you can win those tickets to the Squeeze again August 19th at Bay Care Sound. So 813-239-9663 to try to name that animal tune here. And we'll be back with any calls and emails and whatever for Glenn. In the meantime, it'll be great. So, can I name this animal too?
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. Sweeney's doing 90 cause they've got nowhere to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up at Heathrow. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of ones with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bleeding sane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like as your father, and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. The mood a little, I've been posing down the pub. I'm seeing my reflection, I'm looking slightly rough. I fancy this, I fancy that, I wanna be so fresh. I'll give a little muscle and I'll spend a little cash. But all I get is bitter and a nasty little rash. And by the time I'm sober, I've forgotten what I've had. And everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat, cool for cats. legs onto the wall. I kiss her for the first time and then I take her home. I'm invited in for coffee and I give the dog a bone. She likes to go to discos but she's never on her own. I said I'll see you later and I'll give her some old chat. But it's not like they on the TV when it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
That's Squeeze and his number of people that called in, starting with Linda, who won the pair of tickets, knew that that was cool for cats, all tying into our conversation with Glenn Hatchell for Ask the Trainer, a little bit more cat emphasis on today's show. So Linda will be going to that show. Congratulations, and thanks to the other folks who called in. And we have some emails of questions and comments for Glenn. This one says... a little bit longer than we normally would read, but it says, here's how you get a cat used to using a harness. You put the harness next to his food bowl for a week. After that, you put the harness on the cat. He or she will walk around the house and won't feel comfortable with it, but leave it on. The next week, you hook the leash to it. Let the cat drag the leash behind himself or herself for a week. Then walk around the house holding the leash. Then go outside and see how she feels. I have many friends that have trained their cat this way. So
great.
Thank you for that. That's great. Good to know. And one of our emailers says, cool for cats. That's correct, but a little bit after we already got our winner, but thanks for playing our game. So this question says, I've got two cats. I take them on vacation to our family cabin in Tennessee 4 times a year. Once there, I let them run loose around the property for up to 2 weeks. They will kill mice and run free, but most of the time they live in the third floor apartment in St. Pete. I don't let them out here. They stay inside and look out the windows. You think they miss the cabin when we're not there?
I don't know if miss would be the word, but I don't know. That kind of comes to theory of mind discussions, I believe. Do they, you know, but so I'm not smart enough to know what the right answer would be for that. But as far as memory, absolutely. I think there's as far as a memory of having been to a place, especially if they've gone there multiple times. And there's an that raises an interesting point about being there. They're able to do that for a 2 week period, but then they're back in third floor apartment in St. Pete. That might be enough for them. You know, they may love to do it while they've got the opportunity to do it, but having the choice, you know, they may prefer, you know, the comfortableness of St. Pete. Now, one of the ways to provide some things for them would be through, you know, enrichment type items. Generally, again, we talk about with dogs of certain things to do, but with cats, especially if they like some hard treats, for example, is take a toilet paper roll, empty, of course, and fold up each end and basically cut like a diamond or a square in somewhere in the toilet paper roll. And drop in some treats and let them knock it around. To begin with, cats are going to love to knock things around because we've all seen them do that. And if there's also something in there food-wise that they want, then they've got to do a little bit of work for it. And so it can bring some of those similar type behaviors. Obviously, there's not the predatory aspect when it comes to that, but there are also there are remote control mouse that actually you can do with your phone and let it run around on the floor and let your cat go after it. So there are different ways with things like that, but even for some cats, just having that opportunity every once in a while of, oh, I get to kick the ping pong ball around for a while. Great. And a lot of times if you put a ping pong ball on the floor, a cat's going to spend a little bit of time playing with that ping pong ball. And what you could do then, after your cat's done with that, not interested anymore, is pick that ping pong ball up so it's no longer something that's around. And then maybe the next day or at some point, bring the ping pong ball back out again for, who knows, maybe if they're playing with it and then ignore it, maybe it's, time frame doesn't matter along that line, but it will, or one of the benefits of that is it gives them multiple activities that are involving that predatory bit of going after, whether it's a ping pong or going after a mouse, there's still that pursuit and capture aspect.
Yeah. It's stimulating and fun, and everybody enjoys it.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. All right, again, this is Talking Animals on WNF. We're doing Ask the Trainer. The trainer you just heard there was Glenn Hatchell. Take your questions here at 813-239-9663. Any questions about dog or cat behavior or training issues or some other issues? Or could it be about another animal? Often it's dogs and cats, but sometimes, like, we've gotten other critters, I think a reptile or two over the years and others. So any kind of question you have for Glenn, who, again, is a long-time dog trainer and behaviorist and certified professional dog trainer, etc. But it doesn't mean you can't take cats, because we're talking a lot about cats today. So 813-239-9663 to reach us for that, or you can email dj@wmnf.org, or if you'd like to text instead, 813-239-966. Sorry, that's the regular number. The text number is 813-433-0885. So here's an email came, I think. This says, in general, does spaying, it says the country spaying, but I think they mean spaying, make a female dog less aggressive?
It could influence it, but generally, that's I don't know.
Tricky question.
Well, yeah, because part
not,
of
not
it
clear
with,
cut, probably, right?
Well, I always think of it from a male dog, and it's going to reduce the testosterone. So you assume and equate those two things together. And so I don't know if there would be something from, and not to say that testosterone applies to aggression, but still there's, you know, everybody's got their ideas on, I think that's understood a little bit more. So that's what's interesting. I guess it one would be aggressive towards whom? Okay. If it's aggressive towards other dogs, it could very well be that she doesn't want them messing with her, or it could be a period of time. I mean, one of the factors that's going to play in that, if she's still intact, is she's going to have a heat cycle, and that's going to highly influence her moods, behaviors, and how she, especially how she reacts to male dogs, intact male dogs. So it's a great question.
We think so, but there's no clear answer. It's all situational. It sounds like
my feeling would be no. That I don't think that would have any. If it would have a minuscule effect, if any, but I would definitely yield the floor to someone some veterinarian who may be listening to the show today.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like I was just about to put a call on the air, because we finally had a call that was holding, and then they, just as I was about to do that, they left the building. So, so if you want to call back, 813-239-9663. Again, email dj@wnf.org or text 813-433-0885. So, we have another email question in the meantime, though. My cat is allergic to mosquitoes, and his nose is bumpy with scabs. How can I help? Animax did not work. I'm using Vetirizin. Anything else I can use to prevent this?
I am sorry that I can't give you an answer on that.
No, it jumped.
It's not something that, it's not something that I've had to.
This hasn't come up.
Okay. My cats haven't dealt with it. I didn't have to worry about that in a shelter. That was the medical team. So,
okay. All right. Sorry, we can't help you there with that question. But
I'm not trained. I have no medical training.
Right. But again, behavioral things, training things, et cetera, 813-239-9663 or DJ at WMNF.org. All right, it looks like I thought we did have a call there. Okay. A lot of people, you got to just kind of let it sit and let it hold for a bit. If you are calling, we encourage your calls. It's amazing we've gotten this far into the show without an actual call on the air, but sometimes they're different from show to show.
You just never know. That's right.
That's right.
Well, you know, maybe the cat people are just, they would rather send an email rather than talk, you know, just the difference between, I don't know, just saying.
Yeah. Well, here's another email. Hi, my cats are six now, and I've been unable to pick them up and hold them, even for a moment. I love and cuddle in other ways, but we've been unable to do more. So stressful for a long time. I'm a longtime cat lover. This is new for me. What can I do? Thanks for this advice. I'll be listening. That's from Shannon.
Shannon, excuse me. That's I'm glad you asked that, because that's actually one of the things that I had on my notes to talk about. One of the things that I have worked with on a few cats lately is getting them acclimated and okay with that. So if we think about breaking it down, what we want to do is, and this is how I think of my process through this, is that we want them to be able to tolerate what a veterinarian would do on a vet visit. So when I think of picking a cat up, generally that is going to be lifting them and then putting them right down. It's not picking them up and carrying them around, walking with them, because cats most cats are not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I have one who is, but
it's a rarity.
Yes. So generally that's what we are working on, what I work on the lifting, is, and I would think of it, of picking up from the floor onto a couch or perhaps up onto a table, something along that line. So if they are completely, no, don't pick me up at all, and they're six, it's going to take longer because they've really become conditioned to sending the right signals for you to keep your hands away. Now, I will also say that if they've not been to the vet, then I highly recommend, I mean, it's that's really kind of a given as a vet appointment, because if they haven't, then that hesitant to being picked up could be some sort of pain. So, and there's just no, you know, we can't train pain away. Wish we could.
Yeah.
that would be
an
adventure. Yes. So what we start with, or the way that I proceed with it, is one of, and I'm imagining now that I could be straight onto your cat, or maybe about around your cat's shoulder, somewhere along that line. So the head's right there. So my first thought would be determining what I can do where the cat does not move away. So if I go just to put my hand on the side of its body and it starts moving away, I know right off the bat, there could be a couple of things going on there. But if he's moving away immediately, that's indicating fear, some sort of anxiety about what's going to happen next. And that's, I wouldn't want to push it anymore. At that point, I would want to stop, and I would want to do something for that cat that he likes, whether it's a treat or play with a wand, yeah, or, you know, and it could be even at that point, if he loves using a ping pong ball as an example, let him bat that round for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because with cats, it's more important to, well, the ones that I've worked with, it's more important to get the repetition, but make sure that you get success in that, than it is with a dog. Because with a dog, I want to generally, as fast as I can get them to do it, I want to do it over and over again.
Make that progress.
Exactly. But a dog's got those motivators of, oh, you're going to give me another treat? You're going to give me another wish? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Sure. I'll do it. You know, and the cat's going to say that, you know, kind of look at you like, that was nice. Okay.
Right. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do next? Yeah. Or something along that line. So we want to find that threshold of what they'll tolerate but we don't want to push too far because in this case, we've got a six-year-old cat who has become accustomed. And the other is we're trying to get the cat to have a different expectation. Now, I don't know right now what the expectation is of being lifted, but so to go ahead, we would put the hand, let's say, on the side, if that was comfortable. I would begin looking for where that sensitive spot is. And I would hope we would realize it before the cat reacted to it, ideally, because I don't want to find, oh, there's why you don't want me
sure
to touch
enough,
this.
I remember
exactly. That's what we want to try to avoid. But so the other is working the hand down further underneath. That's one approach where you're just gradually moving your hand further and further down. Another, it would be to put your hand under the cat, try not to touch, and just touch, raise the hand, touch, and then provide a reward. But the first step is getting them comfortable with a hand
in that area, building from there.
You're building from there.
Okay. All right, hopefully that's helpful. We got a call or two here at this point. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell.
Good morning, Duncan.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. I have a friend who has a cat that when she takes her dog for a walk, the cat will just follow along with them off leash. Wherever they go, he'll just come along. Is that unusual?
If the cat is an indoor-outdoor cat, not at all. If it was an inside,
indoor, outdoor, yeah.
Yeah. And I that's not unusual at all. One of the reasons is they're used to that environment. They know the space. They know kind of the territory, if you want to say it, the geography. Some of those things that I have, studies that I've read where they've put some trackers on cats and such, there is generally an area that they, a space, so to speak. Sometimes for some it was a mile and others it wasn't, you know, that far, that the cats spend like 98% of their time in that area. And if the cats are comfortable and kind of know where the threats are, it's not unusual to see that at all. And it's also a really good sign that says the cats are comfortable in that area where they are rather than hiding and such. So
good.
I actually love to see that.
Yeah, I'm not much of a cat person, and when I saw that the first time, I was like, okay, I like that cat.
that could temporarily change your opinion for sure.
All right.
Well, thanks for the call. All right, I think it looks like we have another caller here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. It's Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell.
I just thought I'd call and say hi to a couple of old friends. This is the commuter.
Hey. Now we're talking.
Hey, you know, I got that little skipper key. I'm on my third one, you know, and so I've never learned my lessons. But I've noticed that, correct me if I'm wrong, I've noticed that if you do the same thing every day at the same time, they will get to where, I mean, the dog tells me it's 3 o'clock because it's time to go for a walk. You know what I mean? I mean, he will come at 4:15, he looks at me and says, where's my food? And I've noticed that, you know, he has trained me to do certain things on a certain day, and that's what's expected. And he seems very, very happy about it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Establishing this fixed routine is just, it's exactly what he wants.
Yep.
I was going to ask, are some breeds more that way that the commuter is described, or is that just more
dogs in general? They're masters of the routine,
right?
And that's really that structure.
Some are much more punctual with a clipboard and say, "Now it's walking time."
That's right. But if you think about it too, with like a cat, I mean, a cat's going to have, if it's an indoor cat, it's going to have a litter box. If it's an indoor outdoor cat, it's got the opportunity on its own to go out, where a dog is dependent on a human, you know, really for everything. So that is actually, commuter, you hit it right there. That is one of the most important things to do when there's a new dog in the house, or really a new animal, is
just establish the routine.
Is establishing that routine. Again, it comes back to expectation and anticipation. And in this case, it's something good because it's either a walk or food or whatever it could be, or it could be
whatever.
Chasing the ball.
Yeah. I've just noticed, like I said, I'm going on like 27 years of having skipper keys now, and all of them were exactly the same. The establishment of that routine was just very important to them.
Yep, and cats follow that same routine, especially, too, if
really?
It's food-oriented. Absolutely, because my cats know it when it's 6 in the morning and 6 at night, because that's when the wet food gets put out. And they're there waiting for it.
All right, commuter, great to hear from you.
Hey, great to hear you.
Thanks so much for calling. All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, so we have a little bit of time left, not much. Inevitably, what happens is we urge people to join us by calling or emailing or texting, and initially that a little of that happens, and then there's a big flood at the end, and that's kind of what we've got. So we'll get to what we can here, and then hopefully we'll carry things over to the next time. But just urge people to call in or write in as soon as they can when we start the show, just because inevitably we run out of time when we had so much time at the beginning to address this. But let me read one of the emails that came in. My cat wants to sleep snug against me all night. I am flattered. I love her too. Unfortunately, I'm a very restless sleeper, and I twist and turn all night when she is on me. Many times she is like a scarf. I'm tempted to leave her out of the room once in a while so I can get some sleep, but it would feel awful doing that to her. So that's the question. They're looking for guidance, I guess.
You could try bringing some other things in the bed that maybe put your shirt on and something they could possibly wrap around their head. Something that they could wrap around that would be similar to whatever part of your body they're on. But yeah, that can be. So my suggestion would be to find a replacement for you. Find a surrogate you to allow the cat to be able to hug on to. But that is, I think you may have said, it's a good problem to have too.
Yeah.
It's nice,
cool.
But yeah.
Except when you're not getting the sleep you need.
That's right. So. But what's interesting is that even though you're restless, it seems that the cat doesn't really mind that, because if the cat didn't like the movement, she would be gone or would move to somewhere else. So.
All right. Well, thanks for the. Hopefully, that's helpful. It sounds like a good T-shirt or something else that the cat could cuddle with might be the solution here. Cool.
The cuddle is real.
All right. So here's an email that came in that deals with a whole different kind of animal situation. So this says, any advice for training a flock of chickens?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess there are. Oh, I'm trying. I wish I could remember the name. I wish I could remember his name. Who actually has a course about clicker training with chickens. And I've known, I mean, some of the people, some of my colleagues that I've worked with over the years have taken his course and just raved about the fact, because with chickens, you have to be immediate and precise. Now, I'm assuming that you probably are talking about training them to go like to one space or another. And the best thing to do, or one of the things I would do on that, much like commuter was mentioning earlier, is establish a routine. Could be specific at a certain time, possibly, but have something that is going to alert the chickens, hey, it's time for us to go from here to there. And when you get there, you're going to get something good, because chickens are motivated just like any other animal is. So, you know, you could use whatever you wanted to do along that line. That's one way. The other is doing a treat trail, where basically you're going to toss food on the ground for them to go where you want them to go. but that's not really training them at that point. That's kind of a bribe of, if you go over there, you're going to get that. But I would, and I'm stuck. The name stuck. I guess there's a baseball player.
Course.
There's a baseball player who's got the name of that trainer stuck, and I can't think of who it is.
Well,
but
if we think
it is something,
the end of the show, we'll tell you. Because we are nearing the end of our show, so I'm going to tell you about what's happening next week, and we're going to get to another question or two as time permits. And next week on Talking Animals, my guest will be Mark Beckhoff, Professor Emeritus of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of Colorado Boulder. Dr. Beckhoff has published more than 30 books, including hasn't stopped writing. Part of the reason he's joining me on the show next Wednesday is to discuss his new book, Love in Their Hearts, Love Celebration of Animal Emotions and a Guide to Compassionate Action. So that's co-written by Jeff Campbell, featuring a foreword by the late Jane Goodall. I think one of the last things she wrote before she passed. So really explores all kinds of, from a science-based standpoint.
I have two of his books on my bookshelf.
Mark Peckoff? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, very good. So looking forward to that. That's next Wednesday, August 12th, here on Talking Animals with Dr. Mark Peckoff. And the book, again, is called Love Is There. Love in Their Hearts, Love in a Celebration of Animal Emotions and a Guide to Compassionate Action. So, geez, we have maybe time at the most for one more question. This is a companion piece to the woman who wrote in, the cat won't let her sleep. This says, my six-year-old cat attacks me unprovoked on most nights. It's generally the same time every night before I go to bed. The behavior has been going on for some time. I have to arm myself with a spray bottle to keep him at bay. Your advice is greatly appreciated. Thank you. That's from Cindy from Tampa.
So I would find something like, let's say, a wand toy or just something with a string on the end of it. It could be a pipe cleaner. It could be a wand toy that you would buy at a pet store. It could be something that you make on your own. What you want to do is find something that your cat can redirect its behavior onto versus you. Obviously, this isn't going to happen immediately, and it may take, again, some steps to start seeing some progress, but that's the first thing, is assuming that the cat's coming after you because of a lack of enrichment that the cat has. And I'm just using that term in general, but just that ability to be able to do cat behaviors on a regular basis. That maybe is one way to be trying to express that. So I would look for something they could redirect on.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Glenn. All right, I think we have just reached the end of our time. Thanks for everybody who called in and wrote in, and we'll do this again 2 or 3 months. We'll give it plenty of notice. So hopefully if you didn't get your question answered, you can at that time. Again, thanks to Glenn Hatcher for coming in and doing another edition of Ask the Trainer. Stay tuned for the conversation coming up here momentarily on WNF, The Great Show with Joe King Carter and Mario Nunez. After that, it's a scoop. WNF's brief news recap. Then we shift back to music program with Sam Ball, holding forth from 1 to 3, followed by Bev Capshaw sitting in for Nancy C today, and all kinds of great stuff happening on 88.5 WNF Tampa. So we'll see you next time. We'll see you next week with Dr. Mark Peckoff. We'll see you in two or three months. We'll let you know for sure when Glenn rejoins us for more Ask the Trainer.